Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't
know. I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here. Got a full squad back again, so everyone's happy. But first, the red balloon to my little Georgie. Justin, how you doing today?
I'm fabulous, David. Thank you.
And newly released from my Sex Dojo / Dungeon, Randy Van Dyke. It's been a couple weeks. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. I've missed you guys more than I can put into words.
Aww. So much has happened since we last spoke, Randy. Maybe just real quick, since no one knows what you thought of the Game of Thrones finale. What did you think in a quick little bite? What did you think of the finale and the season of Game of Thrones?
I think that wall went down like a bitch. It went down so fast. I loved it. It seems like there were more episodes this season that felt like they should have been. They were so impactful or had so much action going on in them that each one of these episodes could have been a season finale for any of the previous seasons. That's how I kind of feel, how much energy and effort they put into ramping up toward the end. So I know there's only 6 episodes left to go, and hopefully there's not going to be a wasted moment. And for Justin's sake, I hope there's not going to be any gilly in the fats.
Plenty of gilly in the fats, I'm sure. And I don't think they've officially announced 2019 yet, but that's what they seem to be hinting at. So.
Yeah, I saw some crazy countdown clock on Facebook like the week after the finale ran, and it said something like 550 days until the final season. I'm like, God damn, that feels like a long time, because it is. Gosh. 2 calendar years.
Yeah, I think they're going to wait till April 2019 instead of doing it like September of 2018. But I think they're gonna put their hopes on Westworld Season 2 in 2018. In 2019, they'll go, in 2019, they'll go Game of Thrones. But all right, well, it's great to have you back, Randy. And you're back for a good one. This is going to be one you're going to love. We're going to talk some Star Wars, some Indiana Jones, some Joker, and some Bond, and some Forrest Fred. This is like tailor-made for your return, Randy. So
I love it.
I guess we'll just jump into the big story first. Colin Trevorrow, who was signed on to direct Star Wars Episode 9, untitled so far, but I'm sure it's Disney fucks us over original trilogy fans once again. He is no longer going to direct, which came as a kind of a shock. I think everyone was like expecting it after Book of Henry and after Kathleen Kennedy seems to kind of be on some form of I want to be Kevin Feige kick. But it was still kind of shocking to get the official word. So Randy, what was your thoughts when you heard that he was leaving? Do you think this is a good move? Do you think that Kathleen Kennedy is just, I'll pose it like this. Is it good that Kathleen Kennedy is going out there and making decisions? And if something's not right, she's not afraid to make the hard call, or is she just being an unrealistic person and she's going to ruin Star Wars?
I don't think she's going to ruin Star Wars. I think just the opposite. I think kind of taking a more centralized Marvel approach to it is probably going to be the best way to go. And this is something we've talked about on the show before. When I heard that the way that they had written The Force Awakens and the way Abrams directed the movie, they didn't know what was going to happen in 8 or 9. They didn't have a plan. You know, Marvel's got it mapped out for the next 5 years plus. You know, there's something to be said about having a roadmap that you can follow, or at least having a good solid plan and not just winging it or flying by the seat of your pants. So I think trying to rein it in, reel it in, and kind of not necessarily micromanage, but keep it a little bit more under a thumb, that might be probably the best course of action. Now, for Colin Trevorrow, I still don't think it's fair to think that he was fired because of the performance of Book of Henry, because that kind of movie has no bearing whatsoever on a tentpole kind of movie like Star Wars, or any kind of franchise film for that matter. It's like comparing an indie film to a $150 million studio picture. You can't combine. You can't compare the two. Now, say what you will about Jurassic World, it still made a shit ton of money, and he proved that he can handle a franchise picture. So I think the talent is there. He could have done it. Now, if he did, in fact, have creative differences with Kathleen Kennedy, then that's probably more realistically the reason why they parted ways. He wanted to take the film a different direction they wanted to go. So I think that's probably more realistic than, oh, his last movie tanked, so let's shit can him. I don't think that's right.
All right. So hey, Justin, we'll pose it a slightly different way. Do you think that, go a positive route, do you think that maybe Episode 8 is so amazing and Rian Johnson made so many interesting choices that they may have to take us in a different direction? Or do you think maybe it's the Carrie Fisher thing that so much has changed? You know, we were under the impression that Rian Johnson was going to write Episode 8. He was going to direct Episode 8. He was going to do a treatment for Episode 9, and Colin Trevorrow and his partner were going to write Episode 9. You know, about a month ago, Episode 9 took on a new writer to do a significant rewrite or maybe even a page one teardown. And so the writing was kind of on the wall that the story was changing. And so which do you think is more likely, that Episode 8 is so good that they had to make changes because they want to capitalize on some of the things that Rian Johnson did, or the Carrie Fisher thing, or something completely different?
That's a really good question, David. Before the show started, you had said that, and we talked about this before, obviously, too, that it just seems so weird that they don't have sort of an end game in sight for this. Like, you think it would be completely mapped out and it would just be one musical chairs with directors and then just telling the story. But maybe Rian Johnson is onto something, and because of Carrie Fisher's death, they do have to do some serious hardcore rewrites, but maybe they like the way that Rian Johnson took Episode 8, and he is a likely candidate for Episode 9.
Right. Well, with Episode 9 filming in January, Justin, do you think that we shouldn't stress this? They made this call months ahead of time. They have plenty of time to hire someone if they already don't have a short list of people to hire, and you know everything will be fine come January when it's time to shoot?
I don't know, man. Only because I don't think that they're afraid to push movies back. We saw that with Rogue One. And Episode 9 is supposed to come out in May, right? It's not a December release. Yeah, I don't think they have any problem at all pushing it back to another December release. And I only say that because they've done it before, and they have no problem kicking people out of directors' chairs. Who was the first guy? Was it like Trank or something like that? Wasn't he somebody that was supposed to do something?
Yeah, he was going to be the Boba Fett.
Okay, yeah. So him, and then Lord and Miller, and then guy.
Well, you had, so the first one was Jonathan Trank, and then, you know, Gareth Edwards wasn't fired, but he was replaced, but with Tony Gilroy for the Rogue One reshoots.
Right.
And so, I mean, so that was two movies in a row. Then we went into then we got the Han Solo movie, you know, with all that upheaval with Lord and Miller. Now we have this with Colin Trevorrow. Episode 8 is like, and so it's now coming out that there was a lot of shit that happened in 7 as far as like rewrites
too, right?
And stuff like that. Yeah, like they basically shot Episode 7 twice. Like,
right.
Some of the actors have been very candid lately about that they shot Episode 7 and then they shot Episode 7 again. So I mean, Rian Johnson seems to be the only like constant. Like, he hasn't fucked up enough for Kathleen Kennedy to step in,
as far as we know.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we know everything else about all the other movies. I would think that, you know, if shit happened, you know, we would know maybe. Or you don't think, Randy? You think they would have, with them, their inability to keep all the other situations under wraps, do you think they'd be able to keep something like this under wraps for Episode 8?
I don't know. I think it's the PR machine at work, because you heard how everybody was freaking out after the whole Lord and Miller thing for Han Solo, and that movie is still, you know, almost a year out. Here we are only a few months away from The Force Awakens, and if we heard any kind of hint, or that's what I meant, sorry, Last Jedi, if we heard any kind of hint of, you know, a hitch in their giddy-up, so to speak, that I think fans would just lose their shit. Mm-hmm. The internet would go and do what the internet does best and just just shit all over things, you know?
Overreact.
Exactly. Yes, that's probably a much better worded version of what I was going to say.
Well, I think we're only overreacting because we don't have the whole story that makes things difficult.
Yeah, I think 20 years from now, we are going to get an amazing book about like the making of like a tell-all, like someone like Kasdan or Kennedy. Probably not Kennedy, because I think that her and Kasdan probably have, they would sugarcoat their part in it. Someone is going to write an awesome book that I cannot wait to read just to find out like what is happening right now. Because I'm terrified. I mean, I'm not going to jump ship or like, you know, say the sky is falling. I think that we're still in good hands. I think things are still going right. I just need to know that Disney's endgame is not to say, fuck you, original trilogy. And I'm so afraid that's what it's going to be. If they fuck up Luke, then it's like, I understand they want to distance themselves from the prequels because a lot of people have negative connotations to the prequels, which is why I don't expect a lot of prequel crossover. But these are direct sequels to the original trilogy. And the way the original trilogy characters have been handled thus far in Disney canon is not great. I love Kylo Ren. I love Rey. I love Finn. I love the new characters they're making.
Sure.
But there's a way for them to have their moment to shine without pissing all over the glorious end that is Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really scared that Randy and I are going to be sitting in a theater at Disney Studios a couple days before the movie comes out, and I'm just going to be sad. And I don't want to be sad. This is Star Wars. I should be happy.
Time to celebrate.
Am I just being a dick?
Well, we were kind of sad sitting there watching The Force Awakens too, though. Remember that awkwardly silent lunch we had afterwards? Like, what did we just watch?
Right, where neither of us wanted to admit that there were flaws, and we're like, oh, yeah, it's pretty good. What do you think? But I mean, that gave us Han. Like if nothing else, if Force Awakens goes down with nothing else, it gave us a great Han Solo. Unfortunately, he had to die, but, you know, which is why when we get to our list of people we want to direct Episode 9, J.J. Abrams is not on my list. what about you, Justin? Are you optimistic? I know you're probably the biggest Luke guy out there. Are you as nervous about the future of Luke Skywalker as I am?
I am, but I think I've almost done what you've done, where you just sort of have written this off, and you'll see it, and maybe you'll enjoy it, but you know that there are all these amazing stories out there of how cool the Skywalker family really is, and I'm perfectly happy listening to you tell me all these amazing stories.
Make the Disney era, make the Disney era non-canon.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. I like how everyone is excited about Star Wars. I like how there's all these new video games coming out and new comics and all these fun things. It's like my niece, for example, she's eating up Star Wars. She's having the time of her life. She dresses up as Rey almost every chance she gets. So there's a lot of positive coming from it. I'm just not growing with the franchise. I feel like I have maybe drank too much Monster and stunted my growth, and I am no longer able to grow with this franchise, and I am looking backwards. And I feel kind of sad about that. Huh? I don't know if that's fair, but that's how I feel.
Hey, it's totally fair. Where's your excitement level at, Randy?
I'm still deeply excited. I mean, not to the fever pitch that it was before The Force Awakens, because I think that's going to be hard to match. And honestly, I've had two movies to kind of temper my expectations since then. So I think my expectations are realistic, but I'm still optimistic about it. I still am really anxious for the saga films. Mm-hmm. Just because I am holding out hope that they are going to do something cool with Luke Skywalker and not just piss him away.
Oh, I hope.
Well, his toy didn't come with a lightsaber.
Come with a hook on his belt, though. There's a nifty little hook on his belt that
that's good
for a lightsaber.
He lost it.
Well, look. Okay, I'll put it this way too. Look at the first Rey figures that came out for Force Awakens, and none of them came with a lightsaber either. But yeah. the moment the movie dropped, all of a sudden, ooh, lightsaber, like Rey with a lightsaber, toys started popping up everywhere. So
yeah, but that was a spoiler. Rey's not the greatest Jedi in the history of ever.
Right.
Well, maybe Luke's going to have a red lightsaber. Who knows?
Ooh. I did see an article pop up not too long ago where, like sometime today, where Rian Johnson did reveal that Luke Skywalker is the last Jedi.
Did he really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. That's fucking interesting, man.
Yeah. He says, there's always wiggle room in these movies. Everything is from a certain point of view. But coming into our story, he is the actual last of the Jedi.
But the French translation of the poster means multiple.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking plural.
I think it'd be really rad if like Luke is just fighting without a lightsaber for like the first half of this movie. Like he's just so above it all. Like he's like he doesn't need to, he's fucking just force pushing these fuckers and just force choking them, lightning them. He's just doing all of this badass just like force shit. Like it's like almost like Force Unleashed level nonsense. Mm-hmm. And then, like, finally he either confronts Kylo Ren or Snoke or somebody, and then he's like, okay, I guess I gotta get serious. And then he busts it out. I think that would be, like, a I just came in my pants moment.
I hope it's inside R2, and that's why he doesn't have it. And then R2 spits it out, just like in Return of the Jedi. I think that would... be rad.
He's like, always got to check the R2 droid.
Yeah. See, I love what you did there. I think that's amazing.
Just bringing it back, yeah, that would be pretty cool if he's like, I guess we got to do this. And like his little nod, R2 shoots that shit. It's like Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
It'd be cool if he force pulled it out of the air instead of waiting for it. I think it'd be cool if he just once he shot it up, he just went like fucking Thor with his Mjolnir hammer and just fucking sucked it right to his hand. I think that would be badass too.
He's not sitting there for like 15 seconds waiting for
it. Yeah, he's eating a sandwich.
Now I don't know if this is considered a spoiler because it's based off of toys. So spoiler warning. It's a little detail about Snoke. Randy, do you know? Have you read anything or seen anything about Snoke's ring?
I have heard that it is a Kyber crystal.
Right.
So, you know, we can infer that I was either taken out of somebody's lightsaber, or maybe somebody very powerful, or who knows what, but it maybe just a symbol of his opulence, but yeah.
With his gold robes.
With his gold robes and his big old throne.
That shit better translate better to film, that's all I'm saying. So far, it's not jiving.
It's one of those things where I think the way it has to be the way that they light it has to look kind of cool. Because if you look at everything, like in a toy store, everything's really brightly lit and you see this dude in a gold robe and it looks kind of ridiculous. But if he's lit really dark and moody and that kind of thing, I think it'll play. I think it'll be kind of cool.
I like that fan theory that Ezra is Snoke. I think
I've heard that a lot.
I think that's kind of cool. I like the idea that they have the same nose.
I'd be down. They've been kind of comparing the figures, and it looks like Snoke's going to be like 7 feet tall.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so,
really?
But I mean, I'm totally down if. I mean, I'm a big fan of Ezra as Benicio del Toro's character. I think that would be super duper cool. But if he's Snoke, that's even cooler because you're like, well, Rebel Season 5 just got, or whatever show continues after Rebel Season 4 just got a whole lot more interesting.
Yeah, supposedly season 4 is the last season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
Well, as far as Snoke goes, they've kind of been laying these breadcrumbs in the novels. Like, they just had a Phasma novel that came out, which is actually really good. There was an Ahsoka novel. There was the Thrawn novel. And in the Ahsoka and the Thrawn novel, you get kind of this, like, almost like a POV chapter of the Emperor. And he's talking about something is in the unknown regions, and you get the impression it's like the only thing in the galaxy that he's afraid of. And I'm interpreting it is that is Snoke, and that's the threat that he sends Grand Admiral Thrawn to take care of, which explains why he's not around in the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. And I'm really hoping that that's what this is that it's just this massive Force user that's been able to use his power to stay under the radar like Palpatine did, but for whatever reason, Palpatine is actually afraid of this fucking guy, and then he's going to come out and be this, like, super mega devil juice kick-ass guy, but guess we'll have to wait and see. I don't think we'll get anything. I don't think he'll do anything cool in The Last Jedi. I think we'll have to wait for whatever episode 9 is.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
I think it would be cool to end it with him being like, so we could have it like a taste of how powerful he is to sort of whet our whistle.
Like Yoda at the end of episode 2, where he busts out the lightsaber for his really short battle with Dooku.
And then even seeing like a really menacing Vader in Empire, like, you know, he defeats our heroes. It's looking pretty grim at the end of Empire. And I thought that was like, oh my god, how could they possibly stop these people? That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, Han is frozen in carbonite, and Luke loses a hand.
Yeah.
Shit is grim. Yeah, I think that would be a great way for them to deal with Carrie Fisher's untimely passing and possibly set Kylo up for some form of redemption arc, is if Snoke kills Leia.
Ooh.
Like, just to prove what a badass and what a monster he is. He's just like, whatever. Later, dude.
Do you think he's going to do it, like, face-to-face, or would he, like, hit a button and a laser fires and, you know, destroys her flagship or whatever?
Yes, but do we have another space station?
I think Snoke is going to throw Leia at Kylo's feet and say,
kill her.
Do it. Do it.
Do it.
Like, kind of like, you know, like, time. This is your final test. And Kyle will be like, I can't do it. And he'll be like, you little piece of shit. And then he's like, just right through her chest.
Yikes.
His finger ignites. His ring ignites into a lightsaber.
No. I will weep in my chair if that happens.
Yeah.
I will openly weep at the death of Leia.
Yeah.
Which is what'll make the death of Luke that much more hard to swallow.
Quit with the D word, man.
Dude, we can't go an episode now with none of the heroes of Yavin.
Yeah, Luke has to survive to the next movie.
Has to.
If Leia doesn't, Luke has to. I mean, you've got to, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, we just have R2 and 3PO. And Chewie, we can't leave out Chewie. Chewie was also an unmedaled hero of Yavin, so we can't leave him out yet again.
If you don't get a medal, you ain't shit.
Yeah, apparently.
Winners get medals, Randy.
Yeah.
Scary to think about. So off the show, I had, or prior to recording, I had sent you guys a text just spitballing who some replacement directors you would like to see helm episode 9. Do you want to go over some of those?
Sure. George Lucas.
Right. There's an online petition I saw today where people are trying to actually get signatures.
Did you click how many people had signed?
No, I did not.
600. It was not an impressive number.
That's funny.
I don't know how long that it had been up, but I clicked on it. It was like 598 signatures. I'm like, oh.
For George Lucas?
For George Lucas.
Oh, man. He's got he shows up with like a turkey leg in his hand. Yeah.
I think it would be great if George Lucas directed Star Wars Episode 9.
Oh, man. Like,
I would love it. I think it would be a great little thing. I don't think it'll happen. I think I can see a scenario in sometime down the road that George Lucas directs one of the anthology films. Like he just has this idea, like kind of like how Rogue One emanated from an idea that him and John Knoll had. Like, that he just has this idea for this movie that takes place in the universe, and he goes to them and says, hey, can I make this movie? And they're just like, you know what, George? Go for it. I could see something like that happening, but they're not going to give him episode 9, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I wrote down several names. I don't know if you want me to just do a couple.
Go for it. Just say them all.
So George Lucas, obviously, you know, I would love the idea of Matt Reeves, but, you know, he's tentatively signed on to direct The Batman, so timing-wise it wouldn't work.
Although, getting canned. Like, I mean, there's so much drama around that picture. We talk about it every episode of this podcast. If he just says, you know what, Warner Brothers, Disney's offered me a sweet deal to direct episode 9, so I'm going to go do that.
And with this whole Joker stuff, movies that have been coming out, they've been doing more and more of the contracts for DCU. Did you know that Ben Affleck is not under contract nor signed to star or appear in The Batman?
No, I did not know that.
Yes. Who knows? You may be right. That movie may not happen.
Yeah.
And for the same reason that Matt Reeves is out, Patty Jenkins would be out because she's
Wonder Woman.
She's not signed on officially for Wonder Woman 2, but she's in deep talks, and so she'll definitely do it. A couple fun ones, you know, Kathryn Bigelow, you know, I think she makes fun action movies. She might be a little too grim for Star Wars, sort of since Episode 9 should be a more celebratory movie. Ryan Coogler.
Point Break is a pretty amazing movie.
I agree.
I guess I was more thinking recent.
Yeah,
it could be like Johnny Utah and Bodhi are fucking Poe Dameron and
Finn.
Yeah.
Does that mean that Laurie Petty's character is Rey?
Probably. She is both Bodhi and Johnny Utah. She's pretty badass.
Ryan Coogler, you know, Fruitvale Station, Creed. He's doing Black Panther right now. Mm-hmm. I think he's doing amazing things with franchises. Denis Villeneuve, who's doing Blade Runner 2049 right now. He's tentatively signed on to do the remake of Dune, so more than likely his schedule wouldn't allow it. And then the ones I think are more likely, you know, I would love to say Christopher Nolan or Edgar Wright or Quentin Tarantino, but they're never going to make a Star Wars movie, so it's not even worth mentioning. But I think Brad Bird and Rian Johnson returning are probably the two best bets as far as the Episode 9 director. Brad Bird has a long history with Disney. You know, he did The Incredibles. He did Tomorrowland, which unfortunately was terrible. But he also did The Iron Giant. So he's got two amazing pieces of film under him that were character-driven pieces and Tomorrowland. Rian Johnson, I think it just makes sense. You know, the cast, he wouldn't be coming into a brand new cast. You know, he'd be working with a cast that apparently loves him. No one on the cast has said anything bad about him. The closest we've gotten is Mark Hamill saying that he disagreed with the direction took Luke Skywalker, and then it appeared that he loved him so much that he had to backpedal. And then as far as like a dark horse goes, Ava DuVernay, who did Selma, who's doing A Wrinkle in Time right now. Mm-hmm. She did a documentary called 13 for Netflix about the 13th Amendment. Incredibly talented filmmaker, and she has the connection with Disney, having wrapped Wrinkle in Time. She was the first female director to get a budget of over $100 million. And, you know, she's an African-American woman, so Disney loves to toot the horn. So they love, I'm sure they would love to say they have an African-American woman directing a Star Wars movie, but.
Sure. Rod Faulkner from Seventh Matrix, he was he's a big fan of her, and him and Tony Tolato were talking about her pretty heavily on the last episode of Everything Geek.
Oh, yeah. No, she's great. I've nothing bad to say about her, and she directed a ton of TV, and she did a lot of your favorite episodes of hour-long dramas she did. So that's kind of where my headspace is at. What about you? What about you, Justin? Do you have any ideas?
Mine were a little crazy. mine are not Kathleen Kennedy-friendly choices.
I like it.
So I was thinking George Miller from... Yeah, like, ooh, Mad Max Fury Road. He knows how to make an action movie, and I think that this last movie really needs to kind of, you know, just blow us all away and be really exciting, and I think he could do that. Or at least he could do, like, a, you know, one of the spinoff movies. I think he could do, like, a really good job with, like, one of those Bounty Hunter-type movies. Matthew Vaughn, just because I'm just sucking that guy's dick every 5 minutes. I love everything that he does. I can't get enough of Matthew Vaughn.
He does great act. Like, he's probably the best action director working right now.
Yeah, he's pretty amazing. And then, you know, I'm still riding the John Wick train, so I have Chad Stahelski on my list. I think he can really make some Jedis look pretty badass in the grand scheme of things. And then I thought it would be fun to have, like, Matt and Ross Duffer, the guys that do Stranger Things. I think they'd be an interesting choice. They're very good storytellers. I think that they would do a tremendous job. And then for my sort of weirdo factor is Guillermo del Toro. I think he could have a lot of fun doing a Star Wars movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd love to see del Toro do, like, some kind of creature feel. Like, if they ever did, like, a Jabba standalone or, like, some movie that took place, like, a lot in, like...
In the fringy sort of universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could make a really good thing.
Weren't people talking about a Jabba standalone movie that was going to be, like, The Godfather?
Yeah.
Did you guys hear about that?
Uh-huh, yeah. It came out when they finally announced they were going to do Kenobi. And they announced that they're currently working on, with no plans to create, like, a Boba Fett, a Yoda, and a Jabba the Hutt movie.
Mm.
And at first I was like, that's terrible, but...
The Hutt gangsters.
Yeah, you could have... If Jabba was like the Paul Sorvino character in Goodfellas, to where, like, he's running the show, but you don't see him a lot. Like, the movie's mostly, you know, Ray Liotta, Joe
Pesci. He's Polly.
Yeah, as long as Jabba's Polly, and, like, he's there, and he's intimidating, and he's a badass, but he's only there for so long. I don't want to see a computer-generated slug be the main character of a film.
Yeah.
But I'm way down for, like an Underworlds-type movie. And, you know, that's kind of what Lucas was planning for live-action movie, or live-action television series. There's been a couple, you know, things that have been scrapped that had to deal with the seedy underbelly of Star Wars, and I think Jabba could work better than I think most people give it credit for.
I would love to see it. It would be, you'd almost have to kind of approach it very tongue-in-cheek, though. I mean, not make it comedy, but, I mean, not take itself too seriously.
Right. Don't get Scorsese.
Yeah.
We'll get to that guy in a minute.
It just ends like in Departed, and all these Hutts are just shooting each other in the elevator.
Jabba's the last one standing. What about you, Rain? Did you have any other directors that we didn't name that you thought would wet your whistle?
Well, I mean, okay, I'm just going to throw a couple names out there, and these are safe Kathleen Kennedy approved choices. Okay, so. Let's look at the back half of the Han Solo film as training grounds for Ron Howard before they bring him on to Episode 9. That could be a possibility. He's very much a part of the Lucasfilm family. And then there is kind of a father figure in the Lucasfilm family, or a stepfather. Lucas is the father, I guess. Brian Spielberg. That would be interesting. I don't know how good old Uncle George would feel about that. I'd be kind of like cuckolding and watching your best friend F your wife, you know? So I don't know how he'd feel about that so much. But it could be an interesting choice. But realistically, bringing it back around to what I think is realistically going to happen, or what I'd really like to see happen, is I'd like to see Rian Johnson pick up 9. Because of any of the Star Wars movies, you know, outside of anything that Lucas has done for the prequels, he's the only writer/director, you know, the only one that has really conceived of the vision and then followed it through to completion. And I think he's got a very strong handle on, or at least it sounds like he's got a good handle on the characters and where Episode 8 is going. It seems natural for him to kind of finish out this branch of the saga with Episode 9. So that's my realistic choice of what I'd like to see.
That's a good choice. I'll throw another fun one out there. What about, you know, back when Uncle George was in charge of everything like that, he kind of named his heir apparent of Star Wars, and it was Dave Filoni, who did the Clone Wars and does Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's mentioned that he wants to eventually jump in to direct a live-action movie. You know, he didn't mention Star Wars per se, but, you know, he's someone who's deeply steepled in the mythology of Star Wars, and, you know, he's got Uncle George's approval. I mean, he was the only one that was on the couch with George Lucas for any extended period of time at Celebration, because you could tell that they were like brothers in arms. So that could be a fun one, too.
Yeah, and I absolutely love the direction that all the animated content has gone, so I would wholeheartedly support that as well.
Just anybody but Abrams, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
That's pretty much what you're hearing.
All right, I think we've mined Colin Trevorrow's demise pretty well. You guys got anything else to add to postscript this?
No.
All right. Moving from one Lucas film property to another, sad news. The writer for Indiana Jones 5 has come out and said, unfortunately, Shia LaBeouf's Mutt Williams will not appear in Indiana Jones 5. Let's give a moment of silence for our dear departed brethren. All right, that's enough.
Wait, now Mutt Williams in general, or just Shia LaBeouf?
I think Mutt Williams in general.
He said, okay. Yeah, he said the character of Mutt. Now, Randy, you're the Indiana Jones guy. Let me propose a scenario to you. Do you think this is their way of... much like they're staying away from the prequels in the new Star Wars movies, do you think there is going to be any reference or hint that Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull exists in Indiana Jones 5?
Well, I hope not. I don't know how they would tie it in, because then they have to deal with the whole Marion thing. Are they going to bring Karen Allen back, you know? Let's consider this as well. Now, granted, by the time this comes out, it will have been over 10 years since Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. But let's look at Raiders. It was set in 1936. Now, 3 years later, Temple of Doom came out, yet it was set in 1935. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull takes place in 1957. What if whatever project they do next, Indy 5, is going to be set in 1956 or something like that? Now, granted, the difference between a 65 and a 75-year-old Harrison Ford is probably going to be pretty evident on screen, but maybe they're just going to kind of play with the timeline a little bit and have this take place before he meets his son.
Well, Justin, do you think, as a fan, like we're all fans of the Indiana Jones franchise, would you be all right if they just made no mention and they almost pretended like it didn't happen? Are you a continuity nerd to where that would upset you, or would you be like, yeah, whatever, that's fine?
I honestly, I wouldn't care. They could even do it where he's just too god. I mean, they were estranged for so long that, like, does it really matter if they're not hanging out again on another adventure? I think it's fine.
You can just give us like a throwaway line, like, "Oh, I wish Mutt were here," or something like that. Like, yeah. You know, it's a lot of time. You know, we can have an Indiana Jones movie that takes place over the course of a couple days.
Yeah, it's a shame you got hit by that bus, or it's a shame that boulder ran him over.
Hey, man, well, his mom.
He's off of college. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think it'll hurt the franchise one bit.
Can only help, right?
Yes. I mean, it would have been cool if Shia LaBeouf didn't go crazy and he was still making fun movies, then it probably would have been fine. But I don't think people saw Mutt. I think they saw the actor. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where the actor sort of tainted the role more than the character did.
Right, and Mutt's on Spielberg's shit list.
Yes.
So, I mean, you bring an interesting point, Justin, about art versus reality. And, you know, you have trouble watching Christmas Vacation now because you know what a dick Chevy Chase is. And I, to some extent, have a problem with Bruce Willis because I know what a dick he is. And so it kind of taints my enjoyment of some of his movies. Do you think it's fair to judge an artist based off of their personal life like we do?
I do.
Or is it just human nature?
No, I think it's fair because I consider me going to see their work as me supporting them. And if I disagree with how that person chooses to behave outside of a studio, or even in the studio, if they could be a troublemaker on set for all I know. But, I mean, like Casey Affleck is a perfect example of this. Here's a man that I do not approve of his behavior in his day-to-day life. And because of that, I choose not to watch his movies. And I think that that's perfectly fine. Just like if I say or do things on the show that people don't agree with, I'm okay if they don't listen to it. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where it's Casey Affleck, the human being, is someone that I don't approve of, so I'm not going to give him any of my hard-earned money. That's how I look at it.
Right. No, that makes sense. I think that, so we'll take the example, it's been around lately, that Victor Salva, who directed Jeepers Creepers 2, and is going to be directing Jeepers Creepers 3, was not only convicted, but went to prison for pedophilia. And so, you know, someone like Casey Affleck, who was never really convicted of anything, you know, but I mean, either was OJ or Cosby, I guess, but here's a guy who was convicted of probably the most heinous crime in the universe, and a studio is willing to give him a job to direct their film. And Randy, do you think people are clamoring for Jeepers Creepers so much that the studio can honestly expect people to look the other way on someone who was not accused of, not alleged, but convicted and punished for such a crime?
No, I don't think so. I don't think the demand is there. And even if there was, I think they, you know, any reputable studio would want to distance themselves from somebody with that kind of pattern of behavior, you know? So I don't think anything really justifies that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy that, I mean, it's not, I mean, I don't want to take the show down, you know, a dark path like this, but it's
just. You just did, Dave.
I did it. And so I think that it, you know, brings up a lot of, you know, Roman Polanski, obviously, you know.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit, too.
He's not in the country because of his crimes and stuff like that. And so artists, a lot of times, are troubled people, but where's the line as far as what we should look the other way, you know? Michael Vick killed a bunch of dogs, and because of that, I hoped he got sacked on every single play. And he, I never wish ill on like a professional athlete, but like what he did was terrible. And you know, no amount of, you know, rehabilitation or, you know, money that he gives to charity will ever make me think he's anything but like a piece of shit. And it's just crazy that some artists get away with this kind of stuff.
But. I know, and I mean. I actually, it was really hard for me to watch football after he came back into the league. I don't support that decision, and
he came back on the Eagles.
Yeah, I know, right? And I just, it makes me mad, so I just said, fuck it, and I quit watching football. I'm okay with that. I mean, it's always a good thing to stand up for what you believe in. And whether you and I agree or disagree, I'm glad that you fight for what you believe in.
Yeah, and the best protest of anything is to protest with your wallets. And you hit them on the wall, that's the only thing they care about. So if no one goes and sees Jeepers Creepers 3, which I can't imagine anyone will see Jeepers Creepers 3, even if Spielberg directed it, maybe they'll get the hint and they will run this guy out of the world. But yeah, Joker. Randy, you missed a lot. We talked a lot about the Joker the last couple weeks because we're going to get not only a Joker and Harley Quinn movie it's in development, you know, with Margot Robbie and Jared Leto. We're also going to get a Suicide Squad 2 movie that'll have the Joker in it as well. And then we might also get this third Joker standalone origin movie that will take place outside of the DCEU, creating like this pocket universe. And it's going to be directed by Todd Phillips, produced by Martin Scorsese. And rumors are that they wanted Martin Scorsese so that he could maybe get Leonardo DiCaprio for the role of the Joker. And so I guess I put this to you, Randy. Like, is Leonardo DiCaprio too old to play a young Joker? And did you see that Jared Leto had no idea this was a thing and that he's pretty pissed that someone else is going to play the Joker while he's playing the Joker?
Yeah, I did see that. And that is that's kind of funny. But there's been a lot of shit around the DCEU that I just think is really, really weird. Like the idea we were talking about a few weeks back, the idea of doing a Batman movie without Ben Affleck, you know. And even now, tonight, you mentioned that he is not under contract or signed anything, so who knows what the truth is behind that. I don't know. I don't think they should splinter off their big moneymakers, and their big moneymaker being anything Batman-related. Suicide Squad 2, cool, that's fine. I like the first one, so I'm cool with that. Harley and Joker, I don't think we necessarily need it, but it'll make money because people love those characters. So, and maybe it will kind of... I was really underwhelmed by the Joker's appearance in Suicide Squad, so I'd like to see more of Jared Leto's Joker. I'm curious, because sure. I like the character a lot, and I really would like to see his portrayal of it more. So I'm okay with that, but it just seems excessive with all the other planned outings they've got going on.
Right. What about you, Justin? DiCaprio as Joker, is this the right fit?
I mean, I think Leo does an amazing job in every movie that he's in. The movies aren't always good, but I always like his performance. But I can honestly say that I was not on board with this picture to begin with. I still think it's kind of a weird choice. I think that that's a character that doesn't really warrant a backstory. I think I like the idea of the mystery a little bit more than the story. And I don't know, man. I say this knowing perfectly well that if the movie comes out, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to be there day one with my popcorn and my big old soda, and I'm going to check it out. And I might even like it. Who knows? But he has a pretty long history of working with Scorsese, so Why not?
Yeah, I mean, he's an amazing actor. I mean, I just can't. I mean, in a million years, I can't even fathom that DiCaprio would take this part. Mm-hmm. I can't see a scenario. I mean, he's got more money than God. So, I mean, it's not like they could just, like Nicholson, they just backed a dump truck worth of money up to him and said, hey, you want to be the Joker in this Batman movie? He's like, oh, okay, sure, I'll take this money.
Right.
I'd like to think DiCaprio maybe has a little more artistic integrity, but who knows? Maybe they'll take in a cool route.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, he hasn't really played like that type of character, so maybe it'll be a challenge for him.
And we know he is kind of a fanboy.
Yeah. Maybe the idea of being the person to bring an actual origin to the Joker would be enough to entice him. And, you know, he has worked with Scorsese many, many times. Some of his best work has been with Scorsese. Maybe that would be enough. I'll bitch about it like you said, Justin, but I'd watch it. Mm-hmm. I'll watch anything DiCaprio is in. It's weird shit, though, man. Weird shit. So, Randy, you had an adventure last Friday, right? There was some toys or something came out.
You said
you had some stories.
I do. I did Force Friday 2 again this year. The last time we did it was in September of 2015 for the Force Awakens toy line. And I waited out front of a Toys R Us for that one. There were probably a couple hundred people out there. And you may recall, I don't remember what episode of podcast it was. We did a special episode, I think, just for it, where Justin was talking about it from the retail side of things. But anyway, it was very lackluster last time because there was a complete lack of product, and it was just overall very terrible. And the thing is, it was globally supported by Star Wars and Hasbro and all the companies involved, because they had that like 24-hour YouTube live stream where they were unboxing all these different things. This year, there wasn't a whole lot of fanfare leading up to it. It really wasn't until like the last week leading up to this thing that they even kind of acknowledged, oh yeah, there's going to be a Force Friday 2 midnight at these stores, that kind of thing. Go check it out. And they were trying to push some augmented reality, like you take a picture with this cardboard billboard cutout thing of a character, and then all of a sudden it'll pop out if you have this app, and it'll be an augmented reality version of Admiral Akbar popping out of like a poster, so you can pose for a picture with a CG Admiral Akbar or whatever.
I got my picture with Admiral Akbar.
I figured it was
the real deal. It wasn't fake.
Yeah. I figured you'd be in on it just for the Akbar sake of things. But supposedly there were like thousands of stores that were supposed to retail locations that were supposed to be participating in this. But so many of them had no knowledge of this going on. Like, for example, most Walmart stores weren't even open at midnight, or the ones that were already open, they weren't even aware that Force Friday was happening. So they didn't have their product out. A lot of stores put their product out weeks in advance. So, for a lot of the figures and merchandise in general, we saw probably 2-3 weeks before the official release of them, they were already starting to flood eBay. So that was the first time we got official looks at them before it came out through any kind of official channels. But anyway, getting back to my main story, I did Toys R Us. I waited in line at the exact same store that I did last time. I met some of the same people in line that were there 2 years ago for Force Friday 1, and we were reminiscing and talking about our previous podcast recording, and I was going to record a follow-up interview with some of them, but the Toys R Us manager walks out. And this is probably about 10 o'clock in the evening. Now, mind you, I got there around 8 o'clock. There have been people waiting as early as like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And, you know, up until about 11 p.m., there were really only about 20 or 30 people in line. And it didn't get any longer than that until like the last hour or half hour before midnight. Then it started getting crazy like it was last time. But anyway, so around 10 o'clock or so, the manager comes out. And we're asking, oh, what did you get? Did you get this? Did you get that? Turns out, they didn't get nearly as much product as they had hoped for. They didn't have any, and I mean any, of the 6-inch Black Series figures. They didn't have any of the Toys R Us exclusives. They didn't have, the only thing they had was the 6-inch scale Luke with the land speeder, which was kind of cool, but they didn't have any of the figures, and that's what a lot of the people were there for. So they jumped ship, and these are people that have been waiting since like 5 in the afternoon. So they bone out, and they go to a Target down the street, and they're some of the first ones in line over there. So we started this group text where I've got two different people at two different targets, like, letting me know what's going on over there, and I stayed at Toys R Us, and meanwhile, I didn't have the opportunity to interview anybody, so I apologize from that front. But so we're building up this anticipation and this excitement of what are we going to see, what are we going to find. We know we're going to get some sort of freebie when we go into the store, and I heard we were going to be getting a T-shirt and a Funko Pop, and we were going to be getting a poster, all sorts of shit. And then we found out it's not a T-shirt and a Funko Pop, it's a Funko Pop T-shirt, so everybody immediately got a lot less excited then, and we lost a few more people in line. Next thing you know, myself, who got there like 8 o'clock, 3 hours after the first people got in line, I'm the very front of the line now because everybody in front of me has left to gone on to other places thinking they're going to have better luck elsewhere, or they're just over it entirely. So I'm holding the line there. Midnight comes, we go in. The poster was badass. The T-shirt was cheesy. And I got all the 3 3/4 inch stuff that I wanted. But again, just like last time, they didn't have a whole lot of product. And my experience at Toys R Us was just, it was a total bummer. And whereas last time, maybe the first 20 or 30 people in a line of 200 got merchandise, this time maybe the line was only about 100 people long, and about half of the people in the line got stuff. And then they pretty much ran out. So I immediately went over to a Target, one of the ones that some of the other guys that I'd been in communication with had gone to, and they still had plenty of stuff. It was a great environment. Everybody was happy and cheery, and they were raffling off a giant carnival-sized Porg plush. And I was able to get a 6-inch Luke figure there, so I got my old man Luke fix. And I was pretty stoked on it, and I decided that I don't think I'm going to do Toys R Us for Midnight Madness Force Friday anymore. I think I'm going to stick to Target. This isn't sponsored by Target, but my experience there was so much better. So anyway, that was my Force Friday experience this year.
That's too bad. I went on actual Friday. Like I was like, wasn't going to the midnight. I had resigned myself that I wasn't going to get what I wanted. I figured that obviously I collect Akbar. I collect Akbar, and I figured that the Toys R Us were going to get like a 3. I'd already resigned myself that I was going to have to spend like $100 on eBay for it, and I was fine with it. And when I went out with my kids Friday morning, we got up early, got to Target right when they opened, and the first one we went to was just like pick clean. They had like nothing. Later on, I went to a different Target, and I got my old man Luke 3 3/4 inch figure, which is amazing that it comes with nothing. It comes with no accessories unless you count the hard plastic cape. But yeah, it seemed, and all the workers I talked to, they seemed a little bummed that they didn't get a lot of Porgs. I saw a lot of Rose peg warmers, a lot of Poes. I saw a lot of Poes on the peg, and Rays, but, other than that, I didn't see a lot of anything. Saw some Spheros.
The BB-9E is cool, and the Sphero R2 looks badass with the retractable third leg and everything. I really like the look of that.
But R2 is like 180, right? The other ones are 150. I think the other ones are 150. I think R2 is 180.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
But yeah, the evil BB-8 looks pretty cool. BB-9E, yeah. Is that what he is?
Yeah, BB-9E. And then there was a Resistance BB unit. Funko Pop, I think, was a Walmart exclusive. I didn't see one in person, but I saw pictures of it online. Apparently, in The Last Jedi, we're going to see a bunch of BB units. Where BB-8 was like unique in The Force Awakens, now there's going to be a bunch more.
Oh, and that's okay. Good on them, I guess.
They realize merchandising potential. It's like, hey, if we take one of these sons of bitches and just slap a coat of paint on it, we can sell more toys.
And we got Porgs. They're cute. People are going to want a Porg.
Oh my god, everybody wanted Porgs. It was crazy.
Yeah. Chewie's going to eat one.
Porgs.
Chewie's going to eat one, you know?
Yeah, he's going to spit roast one.
Everything I see about Ahch-To makes me nervous.
Okay.
We've got Porgs. We've got the fish librarians.
The fish nuns, yeah.
The fish nuns, yeah, that's what they were. I'm like, what? I'm just hoping these are like things that we like just pass by and they're in the foreground and like none of them ever talk or interact with anyone.
Like tertiary characters we see in the background or something.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, Star Wars is littered with those kinds of characters. Like, I remember the original Ozma's campaign that they did, or Omaze campaign they did for Force Awakens, where they had the one like puppeteered guy with the little thing in the back. He was in the movie for all like half of a second.
Yeah, Bubba Joe or whatever his name
was.
Yeah,
Bubba Joe. So I'm assuming it's like that, but like, why are you releasing stills of this shit? Just, yeah. I mean, especially because we've seen very little of Kylo Ren in the marketing for The Last Jedi. And, I mean, I know we've seen very little in the way of marketing at all, but, you know, so far the marketing has been very Rey and Luke heavy, which I'm fine with because I love Luke and I'm hoping he has a good showing in this movie. But of the new cast, you know, Kylo Ren is the one I'm most interested in. I know that sounds ridiculous because you guys think he's a whiny little bitch, but I'd like to see more Kylo. Right, Justin? You love that Kylo Ren. You love Adam Driver.
Yeah, I like Adam Driver. I like Kylo. I like him in that Saturday Night Live skit. Where he's like, Kylo Ren's pretty sweet guy.
I saw him in the shower, totally shredded. Got like an 8-pack.
No, Force Friday was totally botched, man. And like, I have to say that if they would have done some serious outreach on social media and just let retailers know how exciting it can be for people, then guess what? People would have shown up. The static clings that you see on the doors for Target, those went up an hour before the event. That's something that should have been on the doors weeks before to get people excited, like 2 weeks before. For Force Friday in 2015, the conveyor belts had like Yoda and shit on them to make it all exciting so people would ask and inquire about it. And that could have been all sorts of fun buzz. Those cardboard augmented reality things, they should have been out on the floor prior to that. There's nothing spoilery about it, and I only say that because we're still fucking 4 months away from the movie. What difference does it make if it is on the 1st or if it's on fucking August 20th? You know what I mean? Give people time to get excited about it, to make plans for it. It's at midnight, for crying out loud, and it's on a weekday, so people have to make plans and schedule. Stupid that it was so top secret that no one showed up and that they didn't even have the toys to support the launch to begin with.
Yeah. Have better figures. No one wants Rose yet. We don't know who she is. You release her when the movie comes out, when everyone's like, dude, Rose is awesome. I want a Rose figure. Mm-hmm. Right now, no one knows who this chick is. And it's sad. She's going to be a peg warmer, and it's going to affect probably later runs of Rose figures when people might want her after the movie if she's as cool as everyone seems to think she is. And, you know, maybe put Hux with Ackbar as the Black Series figure, not Admiral Ackbar and random First Order officer.
Mm-hmm. I think my favorite midnight launch is still Episode 3. There was the most characters. There was a million of every character. You didn't have a hard time getting any figure that you wanted for Episode 3.
Oh yeah, that was the salad days.
It was amazing. They were like $5, like $5.99 or something dumb like that. And there were a million of them.
Yeah, there were like 45. I think, like, weren't the first like 45 released, Randy?
I think so. Yeah, I remember
because the super articulated clone was 41.
Yeah,
yeah. That was all those different clones. It was amazing. The different Jedi. There was so much going on with that launch, and you got what you wanted. It was incredible. Loved it.
My garage says I got too much of it.
Yeah, no kidding. And the card was really neat, too. I liked Vader on the card. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
But whatever. What do I know?
What do you know? We only spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars for Episode 3 and tens of dollars for Episode 8.
That's another thing, too. Like, since Episode 1, we have had Star Wars figures constantly on pegs. Are people just kind of tired of it? Does it need to have some sort of resurgence? Do they need to go away for a while and then come back?
I think they just need to like change the game. I mean, like, the figures are getting more expensive and being less impressive,
right?
Like, I mean, they're super excited, they have these amazing facial sculpts, but if they're only gonna give me 5 points of articulation, and like while we're talking, I talked about that Luke figure, I paid, what is it, $8 plus tax, so $8.75 or whatever, for an old man Luke that came with no lightsaber, no accessories, and it came with this molded plastic cape. I mean, make better figures. I think that's the thing. And like you were talking about, like, there were a million different clones, you know. I don't know if they're afraid that if they put that much merchandise out, it's just going to come back and it's not going to sell as well. But I mean, I'm kind of over buying 3¾-inch figures just because the ones I'll buy my troopers just because I like the troopers and stuff. But other than that, they're not that great. Mm-hmm. Maybe Randy has a different take than I do.
The older I get, the more I just want to stick to my vintage toys.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But that having been said, I do have a soft spot for Luke, so I will buy pretty much every incarnation of Luke that comes out. And I did get myself a Rey figure this time around. A little 3¾-inch Rey Praetorian Guard 2-pack is absolutely badass. And I literally have them sitting... Yeah,
like the Red Guards. Like an alien and Predator? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have got... this 2-pack sitting in front of me, I just opened up, sitting on my desk, and it looks so badass.
But the Red Guards, they don't have lightsabers, they just have items, weapons that can handle a lightsaber?
I think so. I don't know much about their weapons. Yeah, but
guards?
Yeah, there's three different Red Guards. You can tell they have like the same armor, but their helmets are different, and they all have a different weapon. One has like this S-shaped kind of blade. One has like a staff. Another one has like a whip-looking thing. And I don't know if they are three different individual characters, kind of like Inquisitors were in Rebels, or if they're just random guards that just happen to have different weapons. I don't know what the significance of the different helmets is, if they're individuals or just faceless guards. Who knows? But they are badass looking.
Yeah. And Ryan Johnson described them. He said the Royal Imperial Guards for Palpatine were more like ceremonial guards, to where these guys are more like samurai who follow their leader, Snoke, around and fight because it's beneath Snoke and stuff like that. So he said that everything about them is like made for like combat and flexibility and stuff like that, as opposed to, these Imperial Guards who are just kind of like honor guards type thing. Mm-hmm. So that's promising.
Yeah, speaking of samurai, their armor is very... There's something very samurai-like about it, between like the robes and skirts and then kind of like the layered effect of the armor. It's very cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I did see that 2-pack, and then the Han Boba Fett 2-pack I've been able to see in the wild as well.
Yeah.
But I have a million Boba Fetts. but yeah, that's all I got. You guys got anything else you want to chat about?
I watched It last
night.
Oh
my god, dude.
It was pretty good.
Cover my eyes while you tell it.
Nah. Yeah, I know, right? No, I had a blast. Anybody that is a fan of the original will not be disappointed with this new version. The kids were incredible. Pennywise was terrifying. There were some really good scary scenes, and can't say enough good about this movie. If you are a fan of horror, check it out.
I'm really glad I talked to you, because I was actually almost on the fence about seeing that 4DX thing. Mm-hmm. And when you described that opening scene, now I'm glad I'm not.
Yeah, it was. I think that caught the whole theater by surprise. And what's funny is that everyone was kind of laughing too. Like, we'd all get really scared and scream. The whole theater was into it. And then after everyone screamed, everyone would just laugh at, like, oh my god, I can't believe that got me. Or, oh my god, I can't believe it's as scary as it is. Like, it was a really good time for everybody. And I was just kind of hanging back by the bathrooms as everyone was kind of leaving. And it was all very positive remarks as people were leaving.
Nice. And you took Will with you, right?
I did. Will, who's been on the show the last couple weeks. We had a great time.
Sweet. What grade would you give it?
I would give it an A.
Oh, shit. High praise.
Yeah, that's good.
Are you in it, Randy? You going to see it?
I'm going to see it, but this is going to be maybe considered blasphemous, but I never saw the original, so I have no basis of comparison.
And that's okay, because now you'll be a little bit more surprised. I think because I had, seen the original a couple times, it's been a part staple in the horror library. There were a lot of scenes I was already expecting. And while they did change them a bit, I still kind of knew the outcome. So in this case, I think you're going to benefit greatly by not having seen the original.
cool.
I think you will laugh. If you watch this one and then watch the original, it is going to be like fucking Spaceballs to you. You're just going to laugh your ass off how silly the original is.
How a made-for-TV version from the 80s or, I guess, early 90s.
Right, and it helps that, you know, you are, you know, the age that you are versus being, you know, an under 10-year-old child watching the movie.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, anyone that's an adult is not going to feel the same way about the original that you would have when you were a kid. Whereas in this particular case, this movie is scary for people all ages.
Especially little kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck. You know in the trailer, that scene when they're watching the slideshow and they kind of lose control of the slide? Fuck, man. Yeah. That part made the Lord very nervous. Not going to lie. Oh, my God. Because that's just kind of the beginning when they're like, hey, what's going on with it? And then it just kind of goes into this crazy scene. You're just like, oh, my God, make it stop. it's fun. Check it out. You'll float too.
I won't. I won't float or see it.
It's too bad.
So that's why I got you. I got you too. You two will go see it. You'll tell me all that.
Yeah, it's good, dude. It was good. That's it for me.
All right, Randy. Anything else?
That's all I got.
All right. Well, sure glad you're back. So, thanks for joining us for the fun episode of the Geek Galaxy Podcast. Make sure you go to geekgalaxy.com for all of your geek news and reviews, and make sure you check out the Pixelated Podcast with Justin and Stephen K. James talking about video games. And then follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and everything else in the world at Geek Legacy. And until next time, I will talk to you on another time.